On behalf of the family, I want to thank all of you for coming today to pay final respects to our dear friend and loved one, Edda Strowski. 50 years ago, when I was still a teenager, I met a little boy named Eddie. He had just started attending the Bible church that I attended in Riverdale, and I became his Sunday school teacher and kind of a mentor in his life. I remember making a special trip to his house in Dalton one day to make sure that he understood what the Bible says about how to be saved from your sins. You see, he might have been just a boy, but he already thought what most people think, that when you die, God puts all of the good things that you did in your life on one side of a balance scale, and all of the bad things on the other. And if the good things you did outweigh the bad things you did, he lets you into heaven. So I read him the story of Adam and Eve and how God booted them out of paradise after they committed one single sin. And it wasn't a very big sin either. They ate a piece of fruit that God had told them not to eat. Then I explained to Ed that if you die with one single sin on your soul, God's not going to let you into heaven. You see, somebody has to pay for your sins. Somebody who has never committed any sins. And that somebody was the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for the sins of the whole world. But that doesn't mean that everybody is saved. It is when you believe that he paid for your sins that God saves your soul. Now, I know that most people say they believe that Christ paid for their sins, but you can tell they really don't. Because if you ask them why they think they're going to heaven, they usually say something like, well, it's because Christ died for my sins and I'm being good. May I kindly say that if that's you this morning, you're forgetting why we call the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. If you go to the beach, and you're like me, you don't know how to swim, and you start to drown, the lifeguard is your Savior. But the lifeguard can't save you until you stop trying to save yourself. As long as you're doing what I would have to do, flailing your arms and kicking your legs. The lifeguard can't get close enough to save you. And as long as you're trying to save yourself by being good or even being religious, then the Savior of the world can't save you. Let me ask you a question. If you could pay for your sins by being good, why did Christ have to die to pay for them? Let me ask you another question. If I were a rich guy and I could afford to pay off your mortgage, would you keep making monthly mortgage payments? No, you wouldn't do that. Well, now that Christ has paid for all of your sins, why keep trying to pay for them by being good? Why not just believe God when He says in His scriptures, in His word, in the Bible, that your sins are already paid for? Now, don't get me wrong. God does want us to be good. But He wants us to be good to thank Him for sending His Son to pay for our sins, not in order to try to pay for them ourselves. And that's something that even a little boy like Ed was could understand. And 50 years ago, he believed it and was saved from all of his sins. And he wants you to believe it as well and be saved from your sins. And if I didn't tell you about it this morning, I know that someday when I get to heaven, Ed would ask me why I didn't tell you, his loved ones, about his Savior. The name Ed comes from the Bible. And like a lot of names in the scriptures, it means something. Go home and read the book of Joshua, the 22nd chapter, and you'll find the verse that says the name Ed means a witness or a testimony. And over the course of his lifetime, Ed Ostrowski was a testimony to what God can make a man after He saves him from his sins. Because he was a testimony to faithfulness. He was faithful to all of the people in his life. He was a faithful son to his mother, Marilyn. I can still remember how he would bring Marilyn to church every Sunday. And when it got to be where she couldn't walk anymore, he pushed her wheelchair up the ramp to our church every Sunday. When she died, we had her funeral right here. Some of you were probably here that day. Then when Ed married Sue, he was a faithful husband to her for nearly 15 years. I was so happy that he found her, that at the day I officiated at their wedding, I remember feeling happier than I had ever been before when I officiated at anybody's wedding. Because, frankly, I didn't think that anybody would ever be able to look past the appearance of an overweight bald guy. And see the humongous heart inside of that big man's chest. But Sue did. And she was smart enough to marry him. Ed was also a faithful employee at the CTA. Even though people who rode his bus did not make it easy for him to be a faithful employee at the CTA. I mean, I can remember some of the stories he told about some of the passengers when he would come to us on church on Sunday, and those stories made me realize that I couldn't do his job for 30 minutes. And he did it for 30 years, almost. And this was particularly impressive because, as some of you may know, Ed could get riled up. But he never let him get to him. Ed was also faithful as his position, or at his position as the commander of the emergency management team in Posen. They're the volunteers who help out with things like flooding, and accidents, and traffic control, and parade control. Sue told me yesterday that one time he sat for hours next to a downed power line until finally ComEd arrived. And if you want to know how much the village of Posen appreciated him, just drive by the village hall this week. Maybe some of you saw the picture of the sign out front of the village hall that said, "Edward Ostrowski, commander of our emergency management, passed away today. He will be missed." I was pretty proud of him when a picture of that circulated among our church family by email this past week. But I think I'm most proud of him for how faithful he was at our church, Faith Bible Church in Steger. When the weather got bad, some of our members would stay home, but not Sue and Ed. You could not only count on them to be there on Sunday, you could count on them to always be among the people helping out at our church picnics and any other special events. And it was that faithfulness that made me think of Ed when, a couple years ago, our faithful church treasurer passed away. And we needed to appoint a man to our board of directors, our church board of directors, to take our treasurer's place. The treasurer has to be at church every Sunday to collect the offerings out of the offering box and take them to the bank the next day. And he has to be someone who is as honest as the day is long. And that was Ed. And as a member of our board of directors, Ed was something that I never was. I've never been much of an idea man. I don't think outside the box. But Ed was always thinking of new things we could be doing or new ways we could be doing old things. And I got to tell you that most of his ideas sucked. But every once in a while, he'd come up with one that was so good that it made me glad I listened to all of them. Finally, Ed was also faithful to me personally as his pastor and as his friend. I've been the pastor of Faith Bible Church for 43 years, almost. And, well, 20 years ago, I also started working at the Berean Bible Society in Germantown, Wisconsin, in addition to still pastoring our church. And because of that, I had to start speaking at Bible conferences around the country and around the world. And all of a sudden, I needed somebody to drive me to the airport a few times a year. And I remember thinking, well, hey, I got a professional driver right here in the church. And I'll tell you, thanks to Ed's faithfulness and punctuality, I never missed a flight. I remember one time when I was about to get on a plane to go to the Philippines with one of my suitcases partially unzipped. Ed caught it before I checked the bag. And that was probably when I began to notice that he was always so observant. Nothing around him seemed to get to go unnoticed, I should say. So I guarantee that at this moment, nothing is escaping his notice in heaven. He's right there, up there right now, soaking it all up and probably coming up with ideas to improve the place. Ed was looking forward to retiring from being a professional driver at the end of next year. But don't feel sorry for him for not being able to reach that goal and enjoy his retirement. Because he's living the bus driver's dream right now. No difficult passengers and no cranky CTA managers. Can I get an amen from the union? Nothing but people who want to read the Word of God. And folks, that's something that this guy has some experience in. Because recently, I asked him to be one of the ones who gave the scripture reading every Sunday morning before my message. And I was never prouder of him than when I watched him read the Word of God to our congregation. This man that I'd watched grow up from being a little boy to the man with the biggest heart of anybody I think I've ever known. And if you want to see him again, make sure you trust his Savior as your Savior. At this time, we're going to give you an opportunity to share a few words about Ed, and we're going to start with this brother here because he's on a time constraint with the CTA. There you go.
Forgive him, he was a standeth another way.
Good morning. My name is Delon Rosella, and I am the senior manager of 103rd Street Bus Garage. And I'm one of the good managers.
Amen. I'm
one of the good managers. So I'm going to read this from on behalf of the PTA and my boss, which is the Chief Transit Operating Officer, Mr. Donovan, to the family of Edward Atrosky. As an agency, we deeply saddened to learn Mr. Atrosky passing, and I would like to express my sincere sympathy to you and your family. On behalf of the senior management team here at Chicago Transit Authority, Edward was highly respected by managers and employees alike in bus operation and throughout the entire agency. He was regarded as a visionary leader by anyone who ever worked with him. Edward's contribution to this company during his years of dedicated and selflessness service were many and varied. He was a major part of our organization. Believe me, his contribution to this agency will not be forgotten. Please accept my heartfelt condolences at this difficult time, and I ask you please pass these sentiments to the rest of your family. I am well aware of the difference he made in the lives of many people, for both here in the agency and in his private life. Many will miss him. Sincere, Mr. Donald Bonds, Chief Transit Officer of Chicago Transit Authority. The Certificate of Appreciation to Mr. Edward Atrosky, in acknowledgement of his outstanding dedication and commitment while employed at Chicago Transit Authority Transit Operation on this day, January 27, 2022. We also gave him a clock for dedicated service for the last 27 years that he had dedicated to Chicago Transit Authority, as well as his own personal bus stop sign that was presented and will be given to his wife, Ms. Susan Atrosky, and on the entire half management staff at Chicago Transit Authority and the CTA. We give you all our deepest and our sympathy condolences, okay?
Good morning, family and friends of Edward Atrosky. My name is Roger Love. I'm his local steward at 103rd Street, and this is Mr. Clarence Covington, his executive board member, representing Local 241. We would like to read a resolution of respect. In loving memory of Ed Atrosky. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's John 3:16. Whereas our eternal God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has called unto himself the dear soul of our beloved brother and co-worker, friend, and Amalga Transit Union Local 241 member, Edward Atrosky. Whereas it is the desire of the union members of Amalgamated Transit Union Local 241 to convey their heartfelt sympathy to the family of Edward Atrosky in their time of bereavement. Whereas Edward Atrosky was an active member of Local Union 241 of the Amalgamated Transit Union for 27 years and 4 months. Therefore, be it resolved that we pledge to continually be in prayer with the family in their time of bereavement. Therefore, be it finally resolved that a copy of this resolution shall be given to the family of Edward Atrosky and a copy be placed in the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 241 archives. Humbly submitted in faith and appreciation, this the 27th day of January 2022. It's acknowledged by the ATU Local 241 officers, Keith D. Hill, President and Business Agent, Tori W. Bowers, the Financial Recording Secretary, Woodrow Island, the First Vice President, Tano Muhammad, the Second Vice President, and Marquell Williams, the Third Vice President. One, two, three.
The one thing I remember about Ed, me and Ed used to ride back on the red line all the time together. He said, "Before I go, man, make sure I got to stop with that coffee." My wife had already ordered it for me at Dunkin' Donuts. I used to ride all the time to get that coffee. You know, Ed had a big heart.
Yes.
He always wanted to stay informed, and he definitely was a man of God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we might miss him down here. And you, like the pastor said, if you save, you'll see him in glory again.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thank God for at least he being part of my life, because I didn't learn some stuff from Ed. Mm-hmm. He was one of our general guys at the garage. He truly was. And he truly will be missed. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Tyrone Jordan. I'm a retired CT bus operator. And also, I ran the election for the local 241, as you heard from the other union rep and the management. Ed was one of my biggest workers. He had a big heart, as the pastor said. If you asked him to go somewhere or do something, he was there. And when I trust me, that... Ed was the man. I don't care what nobody else could say.
That's right.
And he worked with me as I ran the election for the local 241 as a commissioner for over 10 years. If I say, "Ed, I need you to go way up north," you're like, "All right, Tyrone. All right, okay. I got you.
That's right.
And he said, "You need me to stay there all day?" So when he said he was there all day, from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock at night,
wow.
He was there.
All right.
12 hours.
Wow.
This is one man that I had to be here today because in my heart, he was good. So I just want to say to the family, and to, man, words can't even put it there because he had a big heart. And as a employee, CTA, we was family. You know, you realize when you're there how much you spend time with a person than you do at home.
That's right.
And so you do become family. And you're right.
That's right.
Pastor said something too, mm-hmm. was so true. When he said he was getting married, it was like, "Who married you?" You know? You know, so what I heard while I was standing back there, I heard nothing but the truth.
That's right.
And so I had to come up and say something that mean a lot. And like the union rep back there, he can vouch for it because he worked with me. Look at him. Now he's a union rep. You know? So we all start small, but you never know where you're going to grow and go. And I just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Ed, for all the things you've done. So, I just thank you. All right, Pastor, you go.
I actually never heard him complain about his managers. I just assumed, like everybody else, he had to deal with cranky bosses.
These guys were great.
That was very respectful. Anybody else? Paul, Assistant Pastor Paul Ballback from our church.
I want Nancy to go first.
Oh, Nancy's going to go first? Oh, okay.
On my behalf.
After the CTA, folks.
Yes.
You told me and I forgot. Come on, Nancy. She's going to read something that Sue wrote that she wasn't sure she could get through, and so she's asked Nancy to read it.
Words for Ed. The first
first time I saw Ed was in my singles class at my old church. I used to attend. When I saw him, I would have never given him a second thought because he was bald. And I told myself, my husband wouldn't be bald. Let me tell you why I said that. Because when I used to sit in church, a bald person would sit in front of us and the light would shine off his head. Part that makes me laugh, the rest makes me cry. Anyway, as time went on, his friend's girlfriend asked Peggy and I, would we consider going out with Ed? And Peggy said no right away. I said yes, because they taught us in singles class, if a guy asks you out, you say yes. After all, you are getting a free meal. He's not the right person for you. You just politely turn him down. So the next Sunday, we finally talked. That was in April of 2006. We had a couple of church dates together. Then he asked me out for a lunch date on a Sunday afternoon. Before I told him yes, I remembered that I take my sister, dad, and this other lady that comes to church with me. He said that was fine. We ended up going to Cracker Barrel. I arrived at the restaurant first and put us on a waiting list because that restaurant was always so busy. So while I was waiting in the, I ran into a friend of mine, Amelia, and her mom, and she seen how busy it was, and she was going to leave. So I told her, no, stay and join us. So what would have been 8-5 ended up being 8. When Ed finally got to the restaurant, he sat down and said to me that he had a problem. And he said that his mom was in the car. I immediately told Ed, go get your mom. So he did. So we enjoyed the date, and that's when I knew from that day that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him. We got engaged over the Christmas holiday, and then on June 2nd, 2007, we were married. We had challenges in our marriage because I worked at Burger King, and it was consuming my life. We really didn't spend a lot of time together. It was very hard for us. But then on October 1st, 2014, I lost my sister. And then 14 days later, he lost his mom. Mm-hmm. Then our lives really changed because now it's only me and Ed. So in May of 2015, I finally left Burger King and Ed supported me either way. That was the best decision that I could have made. After that, I had a lot of free time with me driving the school bus. Ed loved to go out of town to just get away. So we went to Bible conferences. If we wanted to get away for like our birthdays or anniversary, we could. We both loved Middlebury, Indiana. That was a second home to us. I never doubt if Ed loved me because his actions showed me. And he told me so many times. Ed was a... Oh, I can't do it. Can you please finish?
I never doubted that Ed loved me because his actions showed me, and he told me so many times that he did. Ed was a loving, caring person. He was always willing to help people in time of need. That's what made me love him as much as I did because of his compassionate heart. So when I had to make that difficult decision on Friday, that was the hardest decision I ever had to make. And that was to let Ed pass. But Ed is in heaven now with the Lord Jesus and his loved ones that are already up there. And I look forward to the moment when we meet again. I want to thank you for all the kind words, all the prayers that we all prayed to hope that God would give Ed more time with us on earth, but God said it was time for Ed to be with him. I will truly miss my best friend and love of my life, but I will see Ed again. So this isn't goodbye. I will see him again when I go to heaven.
Thank you. I tried.
This is Assistant Pastor Paul Ballback from our church.
I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save his soul. The pastor did a good job on that already. The only thing I would say is, don't just come and hear it. Salvation is free. Christ paid for it. You got to make a choice to trust in what he did. Because as we see, Brother Ed got taken. Who would have thought he wasn't that old? What I want to say is thank you, Sue, for getting me all choked up before I come up here. By your thing, that was so beautiful. And what I just want to honor Ed from a little bit of my perspective. As the pastor said, he had so many ideas, like crazy ones sometimes. I'll give you one example. A guy come, we're having a picnic, and he's barefoot, and he's kind of a wild idea, isn't it? Well, so I gave him some materials and that, but anyway, Ed said, if he comes to the church, I'm going to search him down. I said, Ed, what are you going to do? Check everybody that comes, you know? No, ain't nobody going to come. But things like that, but he was trying to be responsible.
Yes.
And I remember when they made him, like, that badge there, I know that meant a lot to Ed, if you would know about that bus stop sign. Because when he became voted on the board, Ed put this little sticky board member.
Board member.
He felt like so proud of that, and he took it serious. You know? And I was wondering at that time, would Ed be just kind of, because he's such a nice man, would he just be a yes guy? And he wasn't. I remember the one time I disagreed with him about a decision, and he says, I got to put my foot down. And I said, but Ed, if all you who knew him had a big heart and a great sense of humor, I still see his little grin. Like the other day, a couple weeks ago, before I got sick, because the bald head, and Ray with the beard over there, I took the picture. He puts his beard over his head and said, let's see your Ed with hair. And Ed was laughing at his silly grin. So we appreciate Ed at our church. We're going to miss him. But no, Ed's in heaven because he trusted in his Lord. There's no doubt, and you can know that too. Because there's two places to go. Pastor talked about heaven, but there's only two stores in town. Go to be absent from the body with the believer. Your spirit goes to be with the Lord. If not, it goes straight to hell. And Ed wouldn't want to see, and we wouldn't want to see anybody go there. And nobody has to. So that's why I said, don't just get caught up in the moment. Think about what Ed did when he made that decision. It takes a decision to trust in Christ, the believer. Because you can hear it and walk away, and somebody could give you $1 million, and you ain't going to bust the grape because you didn't. The faith is a hand at heart. And so with that said, I just want to honor Ed and to know we'll miss him. And Sue has us as a spiritual family. I appreciate that. I almost died 4 years ago. And I know if the Lord left me here for a reason, because, what I want to say is, God didn't take Ed. Some people get mad at God that he took him. God welcomed that.
There you go.
See, we got so many days in this life. So if you're a believer, let's redeem him the way Ed did in our personal life. So, Sue, we're here for you. And we love you. Thank you.
Anybody else? There you go. Ray Seiler from our church.
Testimony.
ceremony, huh? Just thought I'd share something with you. I sent this out a little while ago, a couple days ago. I sent this out on Tuesday to many people. And I just wanted to read it. Especially after the testimony of all these people talking about how faithful Ed and his wife are, and wow. So I just sent this out to many groups, many believers from Alaska to Brazil, all the way to Florida. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our local assembly has taken quite the hit this past year, as many assemblies have. Very recently, one of the faithful deacons named Ed Ostrowski prayed for his faithful wife, Sue. He was promoted to glory after a rough bout with COVID pneumonia. This made me think of Hebrews chapter 11. Many call this chapter the heroes of the faith. I call it the you're in good company chapter. Well, there's a very interesting concept in verse 35. You might want to read that on your own. But it made me think of Ed and Sue. The Holy Spirit mentions those who did not accept deliverance, that they might obtain a more noble resurrection. Now, I understand the context is not really talking about believers in this dispensation of grace, but why did I bring it up? Why did I think of Ed and Sue? Well, we're living during a time when many believers have decided to accept deliverance from COVID by staying away from people, staying secluded, watching things on TV or Facebook or YouTube or many other such things. Not Ed and Sue, right? They faithfully, as a united front, did not succumb to the fear that's being peddled by the world. They faithfully served in their local assembly, in our local assembly, and at their jobs. Yet, just imagine if they were being eulogized by the world, right? What would the questions be, right? You can imagine what questions would be asked. Was he vaccinated? Was he following the rules? Where did he catch it? Etc., etc. Well, how about the important questions, right, that Ed would want asked? Was he saved?
That's right.
Did he have God's Holy Spirit in him?
Yeah.
Where is he at now? Is he with the Lord Jesus Christ right now?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. The truth is that, this is the truth. The truth is that Ed gave his life for the one who died for him. Let's not forget that, right? He was promoted to glory in the line of service, serving faithfully with his wife. See, the world has this different line of thinking when it comes to the term in the line of duty, right? It's not just being shot or beheaded or tortured. The world also tells us that accepting this deliverance is noble. I believe the Holy Spirit says otherwise. So are we going to sit on the sidelines, or are we going to follow Ed like Ed followed Christ? So I pray that one day my eulogy can be half the things that are said about my faithfulness that has been said about my brother Ed and his and my sister Sue. So I thank you, Sue, for your faithful testimony. I'm a better man because of both of you guys.
Amen. Yes. I know Crystal wants to say something. This might be a good time.
I asked my husband to do this for me because I know I wasn't going to be able to take it. If you know our family, you know that the relationship that I had with my uncle wasn't always the strongest growing up. But that never, ever, ever stopped him from loving me.
That's right.
And having my back in everything. Sue and Ed were at the hospital when my daughter was born before she was even 24 hours old. And I didn't even expect it. They just showed up. And they were the only people in my family that did. And I don't think you understand how much that meant to me. And watching the slideshow and seeing that picture of him holding my little girl just turned Tuesday. There's nothing more special than that. Obviously, we're all hurting. I'm really finding solace in the fact that I know that he's at home with the Lord and my grandma.
And
I know that the second he got up there and he saw her face, he was at peace. Besides Sue, there was nobody else he loved more in this world.
That's right.
Than my grandma. You want me to say anything? Thank you.
Thanks, Kenny.
I gotta say this because I met Ed at Sue's wedding, at Sue and Ed's wedding. I didn't really mean Ed before that. We've been in church together for over 20 years. We all both became board members, and I still don't know what that means. I think we were bored. I don't know what that really was. Guest tradition never really defined it. But Ed was really a lot of fun. Every time we brought up Thornton, Harrison was not here because he's ill. Myrtle's here. But, our elder Thornton is under the weather, and he's getting better. I was real sick for the last 6 weeks, and I'm actually, this is the first week I'm standing on my own. But Ed, anytime we brought anything up, no matter what came up, he'd come to Thornton, myself, and him, and we'd have to say yes or no to whatever his ideas were. Well, the last idea Ed gave me was that we get a scanner so we could check everybody's temperature coming into the church. That was the last time I actually talked to him. And Lori got a scanner that actually talks to you. So we're going to miss Ed. We're going to miss him terribly. But we do have Sue. And he was probably the best choice we had in the congregation for our treasurer. He would always go out in the middle of the street sweeping off the island between the two highways. And he's going to be very well missed. And I thank you for listening to the little bit of thing I had.
Anybody else? No, it's your turn.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I knew Eddie about 30 years, and I was up all night, and I asked the Holy Spirit to ask me what I should say about my brother Ed. Today I lost a brother, Ed, a good friend, a good man. People used to call him Meatball. I did not like that. When he took his ex-girlfriend and the public aid, there was 7 white dudes, stopped the car, and said, how you doing, Meatball? And I said to him, hey, my man, what did you say to my buddy? I said, he's a human being like anybody else. And they said, we're going to teach you a lesson. You're going to teach me a lesson. I'm an ex-Marine, you know. And this man deserves respect. You don't talk to him like that. And they would curse and everything else. And they said, have a blessed day, you know. And one thing I love about Eddie, I told his 2 brothers, if you ever drive with Eddie, God strike me dead. He would see something, an accident. He'd be driving along. Hey, Brother Dave, did you see what happened over there? And I said, Eddie, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ like you do, but I don't want to meet him. And he would say to me, well, Brother Dave, I wonder what happened. And he'd take his eyes off the road, you know. And I said, Eddie, pay attention to the road, my man. I love you as a brother and everything else. Well, I was just wondering, Brother Dave, what happened? Well, I said, don't worry, Brother Ed. I'm sure if it don't concern us, don't worry about it, you know. Going on the bus, sure enough, he's driving the bus. He sees some people lining up for food or something. hey, Brother Dave, you see that? I'm only what they lining up for? Eddie, why don't you just stop the bus and we'll just say, hey, what you people stopping for? Some free food or something?
Now I know why.
So, and he was very dependable. I mean, if I call Brother Ed up and I say, hey, Brother Ed, you know, I don't drive. I need some food. And he'd say, Brother Dave, I can't help you today, but can I help you about 3 o'clock in the afternoon? And sure enough, 3 o'clock comes, and he show up. Yeah, hey, Brother Dave, I'm in front of your house. Come on out. And he would take me, and I want to pay him, and he wouldn't set my pay. And then he joined this ESDA. He said, Brother Dave, I could use some members. And I said, sure, I'd join you. And then he got assistant Mike over there. He would break down if he came up. And very dependable with CTA, like I said, and ESDA. And part of me died, but then the Holy Spirit told me something. You know, he don't have to suffer no more.
No.
And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for that. I mean, if he don't make it to heaven, I know I'm not going to make it to heaven, you know. And then before I close, I know people heard enough good things, and I was glad I came last night, and I was amazed. It just blew my mind how many people came for Brother Ed last night and today, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm sure going to miss him, and I told the Holy Spirit, I mean, I didn't fear his speech, but part of me died, but I thank God he don't have to suffer no more. And like I said, if he don't make it to heaven, I won't, you know. And then he would go on the night car. That's when his mother was alive. He was dating Linda. He said, hey, Brother Dave, I got a night car. And he had some trouble on the bus, you know. So I said, sure, Brother Ed, I'd the bus for free, you know. And some homies would get out of line, and I stick up for Eddie. And then before I closed, he mentioned murder. Murder, whatever, what is it, the name that always prepares food at the...
Myrtle.
I'm sorry if I just... She said she's the sweetest lady I ever met. What made me laugh about her was, Brother Dave, if you ever come to our church... Myrtle. She would put a bunch of food on. You think you were at the last meal. I said, I believe that. So when I came to their church as a guest, it just blew my mind to see all that food out there. And I said to myself, boy, if you go hungry from that church, you missed the boat, you know. So, but otherwise, he expects highly of Sue and everybody else. And I never heard him say anything bad about somebody, you know. I mean,
that's right.
He had a heart of gold, and we're all going to miss him. And, you know, he was a good man. Mm-hmm. God bless you all, and thank you for coming.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you, Pastor.
Anybody else? I know just because you're not up here speaking doesn't mean you didn't love Ed. Not everyone's comfortable speaking in public, but I want to make sure everybody has the chance before we close in prayer. Let's look to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for knowing Ed and the love that he had for us, the love that we have for him, and of course, most of all, the love that our Savior had for Ed. Thank you. We thank you that his blood paid for all of Ed's sins, and because of that, we'll see him again. We do pray that in the weeks and months ahead that you would be the God of all comfort, that your word says that you are. we're going to hold you to that, Lord, but we're also going to remember that one of the ways you comfort us is through your people. And so we pray that each one here will remember Sue in prayer and keep in touch with her and make sure that her needs are met and that she knows how much Ed's life impacted each one of us. We ask your blessing now as we dismiss in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus.